to drink this time too.
Oh nice. Shit! Last time you weren't drinking. Cheers.
Yeah, remember? Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers, everybody.
All right. Well, on that note, I guess welcome back to Girly MMA Fat. It's been 6 fucking months. 6 months since we last recorded the last podcast. I was on the last episode. These guys were on with me. We're going to start with some recent news. Kind of awkward, to be honest, because I don't know how I feel about this. Oscar De La Hoya versus Vitor Belfort. I mean, that was announced a while ago, but the face-off that we saw today. How serious are you guys taking this fight? Because for me, the whole Triller Fight Club thing, it's just, I feel like it's such a fucking circus right now.
Yeah. Like, what are they trying to do?
That's
Triller,
what I'm,
as a promotion.
Like, is it just
I'm getting like vibes of like Tito Chuck, this most recent one.
And, yeah, something very similar. Well, De La Hoya did put that on, didn't he?
He did. That's right.
It's giving me very veteran Bellator vibes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like Bellator 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, they were putting on fights like super fucking old fighters, veteran fighters that were kind of, sorry to say, washed up from the UFC and just putting on kind of embarrassing shows. At this point, I can't really even take it seriously. I mean, I'm still going to take De La Hoya, who I don't know about Victor, how sober he is, honestly. I still like he. I feel, I don't even know if they, do they test you? For those fights?
I mean, in sober Philly? In the
sober in the
supplements element.
Yeah, supplements.
Yeah. Oh, he's on everything.
I mean, a video of De La Hoya training, and he looks pretty damn good.
I can't compare Vitor Belfort. The next, honestly, kind of like going into that weird promotion kind of thing, like Triller.
Wait, who do you guys got in that fight? Let's make a prediction.
Oh, well, I
got De La Hoya.
Yeah, we just said we got De La Hoya.
I'm going to go out on a limb and pick Vitor.
You think so?
Call me crazy.
Well,
call me
shit. Well, shit. I mean,
I just think De La Hoya, I mean, dude, that's what he does. He's such a good boxer. I mean, I know he's gone through some stuff. Well,
it's going to be it's going to be a exhibition fight, right?
Yeah, it's probably only going to be like 8 rounds or something.
Well, I don't think there's an actual like a winner announced, right?
Yeah.
I could see Victor but maybe knocking him down for sure. I mean, he's on roids, so you can't really be surprised by anything. Allegedly, by the way.
Allegedly, yeah.
I don't want to get sued.
Is that confirmed that it's a exhibition? Did you read that somewhere?
No. I didn't read that. I'm just assuming because most of Triller events recently have been. I mean, it could be different just because they both are, you know, used to be sanctioned fighters. So it could be that they're both
pro.
Doing it like official or whatever.
Do you know what the date is for that one?
It's coming up soon, I want to say.
No, yeah, that because they're doing press for it right here, right now.
Yeah, they're selling pay-per-views already and stuff.
Oh, damn.
Let's see. September 11th. That's right. It's the day of the party.
Oh, shit. The day of the space party.
The space party. That's going to be fun.
We'll be in space.
Vitor and De La Hoya are going to make that a night to never forget.
So bare-knuckle fighting that happened this weekend. Thoughts on that?
I love me some bare-knuckle fighting.
I mean, I love it too, but it's fucking savage. It is savage.
It really is. The first time I see it, I cannot believe it.
If listeners do not know what bare knuckle fighting is, it's exactly what it sounds like. It is a boxing promotion, and they box with only wraps on. That's it. They beat the shit out of each other, and I have seen some brutal fucking knockouts on that promotion. This past weekend, Paige VanZant versus Rachel Ostevich fought. I did catch the highlights of that one. I watched like most of it in the beginning, and then I ended up having really bad service, so I couldn't finish the fight. But what did you guys think of that decision? Because when they raised Rachel's hand, I mean, if you guys didn't see Paige's face, she was fucking pissed.
Yeah, I actually didn't watch it, but I did read that it was kind of a close decision, and that Paige was not happy about it.
I mean, she walked away as they didn't pick up her hand. They announced Rachel as the winner, and like
she's pissed. Little That's toddler. She's 0-2
right now. I mean, we have to admit that definitely takes from her stock, because she was supposed to be somebody for bare knuckle fighting that was the face of the sport. They paid her a lot of fucking money to be sure that she was this face of the sport. And now, honestly, looking at this win and from Rachel Ostovich, that might be shifting in her favor, in my opinion. She has the looks just like her. And she actually has, on her first fight, took the win. So I think that this might be working in Rachel's favor. And I don't know if it was such a good idea for Paige to even take the fight. Because if she would have going to take the fight, why are you going to take it against the person that is honestly your exact competition? She has the same content as her. She is doing the same things as her. And all she needed was this win for her to really.
Well, that's also what drew so much attention for this fight.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And credit to her. Maybe she's a real competitor. She doesn't want to have a tomato can in there.
Well, she wants to get a real win. She's always said that. That's why she went supposedly to bare knuckle fighting, right? She went because she didn't want to be the pretty girl. She has gone all
10 rounds, 5 rounds each fight. 10 rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying she's a little. She
hasn't got knocked out or worked or anything.
I'm not saying she's a punk. Like, obviously, she can. She's in there to prove something to herself.
You hate her because sure.
But to your point, she could have taken the easy fight, and she chose to take this competitive fight.
You see Blueface spot, the rapper?
Okay, so talking about that, I mean, that's a little, I mean, this is even, okay, guys. So when I say off the wall promotion, I don't mean because of the actual act of fighting that is happening within the fights. It is the fighters that are chosen to fight each other. That is kind of crazy to me. You know, you got Blueface fighting this YouTuber, which I have no idea who it was. And the fight ends and you see Blueface like, literally go after the fight and punch him up like a few times after that. Did you guys see that?
I didn't see that actually.
No.
They were literally announced him after the fight.
And then if you guys
check it out on YouTube really quickly, it's like 2 seconds. This kid like practically beats the shit out of him again. And like there's like a promoter or something in front of them. And he's just fucking wailing on him like from the top. It was wild. This is fucking insane. This is a fucking circus, dude. What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, you know what else?
This is like, remember Ismael, we were watching previous bare knuckle event.
I'll show you that.
The same thing happened. The with Hector Lombard.
Oh, Hector Lombard.
Oh, when that dude.
Really? Oh, he fucking punched the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Well, dude, what did he expect? He walked up behind the guy after his win, all intimidated, like. It's a bare knuckle fight.
Yeah, seriously.
You know what I mean?
Did you guys see, by the way, what the fuck? Hector Lombard approached
Woodley,
and he's like, do you remember when you tried to fuck my fucking side chick? And then he's like, yeah, man, that was fucked. He's like, yeah, man, that was fucked up. How are you gonna yell at him for trying to fuck your side chick and call her your side chick? What the fuck? Not even your girlfriend, bro.
It's so dumb, dude.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's fucking wild. Let's get back to the UFC because I'm honestly getting it's like a fucking circus over there. So recently, I just want to talk about an official fight announcement. We all knew this was going to happen. We all saw it coming. Usman versus Covington.
Oh, yeah.
In November in New York City. I'm not going to lie. I'm thinking of going for my birthday.
No shit.
Wow. Awesome. Do it.
My birthday's on November 21st, and they haven't announced the exact date. They just announced that it would be in November, so maybe I can make it happen. We'll see. But what do you guys?
The speculation's at MSG, right?
Probably, yes. Yeah. What do you guys think about that fight?
It was a great fight the first time.
It was a really great fight, and I even had Covington winning in that fight, and he got knocked out or TKO'd.
I want to see it again.
I mean, the first fight was great, yeah. But I mean, I guess it's because Usman, but I'm not saying.
Yeah, as personas, they're both like stale, just, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very. As fighters, and they're great. They're both really good.
Yeah, oh, no. And total respect to both fighters. They're like amazing, talented fighters, especially Usman. So
I think Usman will take that one, though, again.
I think so, too. I'm going to take Usman on that one as well.
I think I'm going to take Usman, too, but I think Covington's not going to stand and trade with him this time. I think he's going to go for takedowns.
Usman?
I think Covington will go for takedowns. Yeah, and he won't just stand in the middle and trade with him the entire fight like last time.
I mean, I think really that his striking has looked pretty good from what we all saw.
Exactly.
So
that's why I don't think Covington will. Yeah.
That's true.
Change the subject here on some stuff that we sent each other today about Connor. Did you guys see that? Him taking a shot at Habib's dad.
I did.
Yeah, what a douchebag. Not cool.
I'm already like not happy with McGregor. Like, I was starting to turn around after the second fight with Poirier, and I was like, okay, maybe he's better now. They did their like exchange of bottles, had a lot of bunch of respect, but the third fight, after the whole he broke his ankle, which sucks. I mean, that's terrible for any fighter. But to just come and talk about somebody's dad like that, you know, that
I mean, especially the way he passed. And I don't know if you guys saw what I shared today about Habib's dad saying that he forgave him and essentially talking good about McGregor and saying, hey, we all make mistakes. Like, did you really forgive? The reporter asked him, did you really forgive him? He genuinely says, we are past that. It is in the past. I forgive him. That's it. And
well, even after he passed away, McGregor sent over his condolences. Like, oh, I'm so sorry
seen that.
For your father. Right. So I was like, oh, I respected that too, you know, but
the fact that he has no self-awareness on when to end the promotion of him, his own stock is kind of insane to me. Like, he is just using this for seeing this as more of a stock thing for him. Like, I'm going to raise my stock by making people talk to him. At what expense, though?
I think deep down, McGregor kind of knows his like celebrity is in decline after this loss and the way it went. And he's just scratching and clawing and trying to cling to anything that he can to get his name out there still and, you know, make a headline.
I agree.
But even Khabib was just like, all he was talking about was like, good will always be evil. And he wasn't like bashing him or anything. And then he's just like, what do you say? COVID. So COVID's good and father's evil or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
It's a low blow. Not cool.
Yeah, not cool. Well, with McGregor kind of, sad to say, walking out of this sport very soon, I believe.
Oh, whoa. Hey, it's too close to home.
Don't be worried because don't be sad. No worries, because I want to talk about a newly signed UFC fighter coming out of Cage Warriors. He got signed this month by the UFC. If you don't know what Cage Warriors is, it's basically where McGregor came from. That's their most notable champion. McGregor came from that promotion. It's a smaller promotion that the UFC uses almost like a minor league for all of their fighters and, you know, kind of watch them exactly like a minor league. You know, you kind of watch the fighters, see how well they do. And really evaluate them instead of keeping him the USC, right? In the UFC right away. And then they flunk and, you know, all this shit. But I think that the UFC had been watching Ian the Future Gary. People fucking love this guy. I've watched a lot of his fights. He's a welterweight Irishman, 23 years old, 6'3". He is 7-0 as a pro. 14-1 in his entire record, including his amateur career. Amateur. So he's never lost. He's been boxing since he was 10. He's been working the mat since, I don't know, 15 or something. So I feel like he's so well-rounded. McGregor coming with down so low, you're going to need another Irishman to come in there and really take his place. And who else better than to have a 23-year-old fighter that the UFC just signed with a clean, perfect record coming from the same promotion that McGregor came from?
Very interesting. I'm looking at his record here, including amateurs. He's only got 4 decisions in something like 19 fights. Pretty impressive.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and if you watch his Cage Warrior fight, you could tell he fucking wants it. He has his eye on the prize. He is focused. He wants to finish fights. He's not trying to feel pressured. It comes natural for him to get these finishes. If you watch him, he's very strategic. He's very calm as he fights. And yet, he's able to finish these fights in such a like calm manner. It's almost happened so effortlessly. So I'm really excited to see what this guy has a lot of hype behind him. And I'm hoping that I am not jumping on the train too quickly, but it's only because I have watched him in Cage Warrior. So I feel confident saying that this guy's going to do some fucking great things in the welterweight division.
Yeah, I don't really know him too well. I'm going to keep an eye out, though.
Yes, well, that's why I wanted to talk about him, kind of put him out there. Once his first fight is announced, we can revisit his fight and his opponent and kind of square out who, what, when, where, kind of, you know, how he's going to do in that fight and how the matchup's going to go. And then, you know, we could revisit that conversation.
Yeah, that's a tough division, that's for sure, for him to try to climb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
Oh yeah. How's he as a persona?
He seems like such a nice guy. And I guess that's breath of fresh air.
I feel like we're leaving the like kind of douchey era, the bad guy era, like exactly. The McGregor era. We're going into a nice era.
You got Dustin Poirier coming out here after all the negative shit, and he's handled it so well with everything that McGregor has talked about his wife, about, you know, all of these things. Even when he did say, you know, either in the cage or on the streets, we're going to fight, you know, because he threatened my family. Even then, he still held respect. He never disrespected him the way that, you know, McGregor did. So it's kind of a good, you know, feeling to have somebody out of Ireland coming up that is not a fucking douchebag. Because the last thing we need is for another McGregor coming up here. Talking about McGregor, we're going to move on. I know this, guys, I know we're late on this, okay? We are late on talking about the Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor card, but we cannot not talk about it.
Can't skip that one.
What is your guys' thought on his ankle break? Was it a check from his elbow that started the crack, or was it just that he just broke his own ankle, stepped back the wrong way? What do you guys think about that?
Well, there was a lot of evidence of him like being hurt prior to the fight. I mean, afterward, it all came out, but they're not going to tell people that he's hurt before the fight. But
okay, here's the question then. If that's true, why is he throwing these kicks at full power, like right at, you know, like a super leg kick heavy offense and strategy, if he knows his leg's already compromised?
Desperation, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, this happened pretty all early on in the fight. He was kicking him the entire first round, trying to take out his leg, chop him down pretty early. So I think he had the game plan of chopping him down, honestly. But why? That didn't make sense to me. You got a black belt in jiu-jitsu and Dustin Poirier. Do you really want to take that risk and take on the ground with him? His best bet was to stand.
Yeah, I agree. And he was actually, I mean, he was... Once he went to the ground, he was getting caught. But on the feet, he looked like pretty decent. He didn't look terrible on the feet, like he was outclassed by Poirier. Just once Poirier took him down and started grounding and pounding, you know, then it's a different story. Yeah.
Yep.
I think even Dustin Poirier had admitted that did rock him, which is crazy that he admitted. You know, he said he did, you know, he knocked me in the same place as the first time. And he kind of rocked me, but I wasn't completely out. And just to think that, it just made me believe, like, damn, when looking at the way that he fought Dan Hooker and just everything that he absorbed in that fight and everything that he absorbed with the fight with Holloway, everything that he absorbed with Justin Gaethje, and for McGregor to be able to still do that, you can't take him out of the equation. It's maybe realize just now as I'm talking about it, there's no way I can take him out of the equation. If you're going to tell me that Dustin Poirier was able to absorb hits from Justin Gaethje, Eddie Alvarez, Max Holloway, all of this, but he got hurt and dinged like that from from Conor McGregor. Like, that should mean something. You know what I mean? You can't dismiss that. You know, if they weren't able to give him that ring like he did, let's take a step back and kind of know that, hey, this guy still is dangerous. Just because he's a fucking piece of shit, it doesn't mean that he's not still up there as a good fighter, you know?
I think he still beats everybody. Fighter. I think he still beats everybody in lightweight minus Oliveira, Poirier, Gaethje. Yeah, but I think he still beats Dariush. I think he beats Chandler. I think he beats Ferguson, Dos Anjos, Hooker.
I don't think he beats Chandler.
No?
No.
It'd be a fun fight either way.
Oh, I'd fucking fight. Pay for it.
So I want Gaethje Chandler. I want McGregor Chandler more.
I want...
But then who do you put Gaethje in with? Dariush? It's, rankings-wise and skill-wise, it's a good matchup, but it's not as fun of a fight, versus Gaethje Chandler or Gaethje, like, McGregor or something. You don't get the same fireworks.
Diaz and McGregor 3, I would like to see that.
Yeah, that's always there. That's always a great fight.
Do you guys see the Nick Diaz?
I think it's signed.
Next?
It's a done deal.
It is signed.
Who is it?
Robbie Lawler. Wait, did you say Nick or Nate?
Nick.
Oh, Nick Diaz.
Nick Diaz. Sorry.
Yes.
Nick
Diaz. Oh, fuck yeah. I'm excited for that.
I feel like you just fucking jizzed a little bit, bro.
A lot of
it. Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, my God. You know, that's going to be a fucking great fight. I can't wait for that fight. Just to have him back, it is just like, it's the most nostalgic, most beautiful thing to me. I cannot wait. So coming up next, I think we should talk. There's not really a lot to say about the Burns Thompson fight. Did you guys watch that fight? I just want to make sure that everyone knows I had one word typed in on that fight. It says boring, and that's all I had to say.
I didn't even see that.
I literally have nothing to say about that fight other than we all saw that coming. All right. So the next fight I want to talk about, mostly because of the next opponent that is going to be fighting. I don't know how to say his name.
Tuivasa.
Tuivasa. So versus he defeated Greg Hardy. Did you guys see that knockout?
Woo! That was a barn burner.
You guys. The worst part is that Hardy rocked him. Hardy had him and it just did not cover up enough and got anxious and started fucking just going crazy. And
it showed his inexperience.
Yes. It showed his inexperience because he should have stayed calm, covered up, focused, and really focus on his striking and what he was doing to finish the fight.
And it kind of reminded me in a way of Stipe when he got knocked out by Francis.
I literally was just about to say that. Francis Ngannou, when he fucking except that worked out in his favor, right? But with Greg Hardy, it was just like he kind of just started to finish and he let his hands down and there goes Hardy.
Not a big fan of Hardy, though. Not a big fan of Hardy.
It was pretty sweet to see him get knocked the fuck out.
Well, he's the wife beater, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't.
Allegedly.
I think since their last fight, since Hardy's last fight, you know, he had lost his last fight. And before that, there was a lot of kind of hype kind of rolling up after him, like kind of like building him up. And a lot of people were behind him. I felt that he had some momentum going and then he lost his last fight. Now he lost this fight. What's next for Greg Hardy? He has two fights that he's lost in a row. I'm not sure really what is up next for him. Who would you guys feel like is somebody that you guys could see him fighting next? Or do you think that the UFC, or do you think that the UFC cuts ties with him?
I don't think they cut ties. Not yet.
Yeah, after just one loss.
Yeah, I think they're still looking at him in a like building mode, kind of like Sean O'Malley in a way.
It has to be someone that's coming off a loss right now too, right?
Yeah.
How about Walt Harris?
No. So I'm gonna actually talk about that right now. Guess who the fuck he's fighting next? Tio Vasa is fighting next. Paul Harris.
Oh, really?
Okay, if you don't know who Walt Harris is, guys, this is the guy that tragically lost his daughter and fought a few days after. He fought.
I do remember this guy.
That's how most people remember him. And let me tell you how fucking just incredibly sad this is. And I'm not laughing because it's funny. I feel really bad. He goes in there, just loses his daughter, goes in there against Alistair Overeem, and Alistair Overeem just beats the living shit out of him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, I don't think he's won a fight since.
No. He hasn't. And let me just tell you, they give him another fight just because, everyone's like, oh, this was really sad to watch. He fights Alexander Volkov. He loses again from a kick. Okay. Again, brutal. If that wasn't enough, okay, the UFC's like, nah, dude, this guy, we have to give him a win. He fights fucking Marcin Tybura and loses again. To fucking ground and pound, bro. And then they give him fucking this guy. I'm sorry, but he's going to get knocked the fuck out again. And what the this guy can't fucking catch a break to save his fucking life. Jesus Christ.
Give him Greg Hardy.
Why would you give him the winner?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, why would you give Hardy him the winner? Harris, it just doesn't. One. He's coming off of 3 losses. Why would you give him the winner?
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
You got to build
the guy's confidence a little bit after 3 straight, pretty brutal
losses. After his daughter died, like a few days after. Like, come on.
For sure.
I seen the announcement, right? And I literally seen the comments and they thought the same. I just thought it in my head, right? I'm like, this guy hasn't fucking won a fight in like forever since his fucking daughter, God's sake, poor guy. And all the comments are like, God damn it, poor God, Hardy's gonna get knocked the fuck out again.
Yeah.
It's a tough one right there. That's mostly why I wanted to talk about that fight. The KO is pretty interesting, but the fact that they gave Walt Harris to this guy is kind of like, bro, that's
not cool.
Like, what the fuck are you doing? But the next fight that I want to talk about, which was on the same card, was Mr. Sean O'Malley. Okay, so can we talk about, first of all, before we talk about O'Malley and all his fucking taunting and fucking whatever the fuck he's doing, let's talk about Chris Mountinho. What is it? Mountinho? A fucking cool fucking guy. Did you guys see what a fucking warrior this fucking guy was?
He took an ass beating, that's for sure.
He took an ass beat, but let me tell you, this guy took this fight on short notice, did not fucking show anything but toughness in that fight.
Didn't he quit his like painter job or some shit like right before that fight?
Yeah.
He came from, what's the organization? Cage Fury FC. He won a couple fights. Or one fight with them and then another with another couple of organizations, but it was not like a crazy good record. So for him to like come into the UFC, get signed and then take a prospect like this, hats off to him. Let's not take anything from O'Malley. O'Malley looked so fucking great in that fight that I hate this guy. I literally hate this guy, but wow, this guy's accuracy and his performance was honestly so good. His striking was so fucking accurate. I don't know if it was just that Chris was just really bad and just didn't have any fucking head movement, but this fucking guy got him. I don't know if it was just it looked that simple, but this, and it just made O'Malley just look that much greater. But I hate this guy, and I'm gonna say, what an incredible performance by O'Malley.
Yep.
Yeah.
He does like a breakdown of fights, and he was breaking down O'Malley's fight with the guy Chris, and the way he lures people in is really good. He does like a lot of feints and fakes.
The feints.
Use of distance.
The yep. feints that I am. The feints. I am such a good. I'm like such a fan. I hate this guy, but I am such a fan of how slick he is with his feints. Like this yeah. guy, it's so subtle. And this guy will like do it just enough to really make his opponent believe that he's about to throw the punch that he wants them to think that he's throwing.
Yeah, exactly. I just seen the video punch. Like that. He was going for like an uppercut and then just turns it and throws this right hook right over the top.
You're talking about Ian when he fought Ian. I know exactly.
His punches just
about.
Look good, like just.
And they don't even look so that heavy. Smooth. They
it's
don't
like
look...
Israel in a way. You know the way he punches. They're just fluid and they're just perfect distance. Don't look heavy, but got power behind them.
Yep.
All right. So the next fight I want to talk about, you guys, I feel a certain type of way about this fighter. I've talked about this before. Mitchell Pereira versus Nico Price. This is the guy, if you don't know who he is, I think that you guys should know who it is, but this is the guy that fucking does all the fucking crazy antics.
The flips and
the
shit.
Flips.
Yeah.
That was a crazy fight.
It was too much for Pereira to do what he was doing. At one point I had, I don't know if you guys follow John McCarthy, John McCarthy and Josh Thompson's podcast.
Yeah.
He actually brought up a good point. When Michael Mitchell flipped to jump, like kind of to hit land on top of Nico, he is basically kind of stepping on him or stomping on him, which is technically illegal in the UFC. It's an illegal. So he brought up that point, and he does do that often because he flipped and landed on top of him, kind of like he wanted to land literally on him, which is stomping is kind of like not, you know, allowed in the UFC. So I think that shit like that, it's just not as if he's wasting energy, but it's just not effective. And it's not even fun to watch for me. It's not like, oh my God, that was so impressive. Like, did you fucking see that fucking flip? Like,
I guess if he actually landed it, it would be pretty impressive.
That's exactly, I guess that's exactly my point. And what I missed saying is I'm not impressed by it because he doesn't 85% of the time, 90% of the time, he probably doesn't land whatever the fuck his antic is.
Yeah. Like clearly gassed out too, like hard. Right. And then lost the decision. Oh, did he win that decision?
No, he won that.
Oh, he did. Okay. But yeah, well, I mean, he clearly gassed out. He's doing all these high risk things that, you know, have a low percentage of landing.
I just want to see your guys' kind of perspective on that, because I know that there's a lot of people that might like that shit. But if it was effective, like you said, Joe, I think that it would be a lot more valuable and, you know, actually entertaining. For me, well, it just didn't do anything for me.
Jumps off the cage and does his kicks and punches off the cage. I like that because it actually lands. It works. And it's not as like ridiculous and circus-like either.
But here's the thing. Circus-like. That's the perfect fucking phrase.
Finishing the fight. Like if he's going to finish the fight using that stuff and he doesn't gas out, then, you know, fair to him. Do it. But if you're gassing out toward the end of round two and round three and you're barely able to finish, then don't do that shit. You know?
Yeah. No kidding.
For sure. Nico Price, I don't know what the fuck to do with him. This guy, like you said, super fucking inconsistent. Wins a fight, loses a fight, wins a fight, loses a fight. But he's just, at this point, he's just like he's just a stepping stone in my opinion. I know I hate to say that because I really enjoy watching every one of his fights.
Put he's up a gatekeeper.
There, he's a gatekeeper, somebody that you need to get through to really push through and get noticed. And I think that's what he's just become. And it's just, I don't think that he's gonna like get caught anytime soon because of that.
Yeah, that's valuable for the company to have a gatekeeper, right? But it sucks if you're in that position.
And I think it's important to actually like recognize that and not be upset about it, because you have to be understanding. That brings me in that same conversation, that brings me Carlos Condit. He fought Max Griffin and he lost that fight. It was a great fight. He didn't get dominated, I would say. But again, it's one of those fights. He's one of those fighters that, unfortunately, I love Carlos Condit. And it's just one of those times. It comes a time where you just become that fighter. Your name, especially if you have a big name like Carlos Condit, and you get in there, you get the opportunity to fight him, and you beat him. That is a name underneath your belt, and it's sad that it happens. But did you guys watch that fight?
Yeah, you know, there comes a time for every fighter to go to Bellator.
You almost made me spit out my beer right now.
And it's that time for Carlos. I think was that his last fight?
No. Stop it. No, I think that they could use him just like Nico. Come on now. I mean, it would be degrading enough. I mean, if he doesn't want to go through the actually, that's a good point that you bring up. If you don't want to get to the point where they are going to use you for that, you go to a lower competition fighting promotion like Bellator, and you maybe dominate some lower ranked fighters out of the UFC to actually continue to have that upscale ranking.
But I think to your point, like, he's a competitor. He doesn't want that. He wants to actually compete and, you know, rise through the rankings. But I think he's from a past era that's kind of fading away now, you know, and these guys now are just,
you got Robbie better, Lawler,
you know?
Got
Woodley.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Condit, especially like back WEC time, like before they merged.
I loved it. You know, you got Cowboy Cerrone, you know, you got all these guys from WEC and Strikeforce, and there just comes that time, you know. And I think that the best bet, I think that any of those fighters go, if they still got some real good talent behind them, whether it might not be like super crazy talent, but PFL is like the best option you can ever have to go in there as a tournament fight. If you guys don't know, Professional Fighting League it's a tournament style fighting league. You basically fight in a tournament, you win fights, and you win $1 million. After that, you get a pretty penny and you can retire after a couple of rounds of that. You know, if you're still got the fight in you enough to beat these fighters in this organization, maybe I feel like that's the best option for anybody that is coming out of the UFC that might want to go outside of that organization.
I mean, that might be a good option for him to consider, because
he did win his last fight
before this, right?
Right. He might be a little too old for it. The thing is, he might be going to have to consider Bellator, which is the next level. You're not going to go, God forbid, you go to fucking One Champion, you know?
Yeah.
Like, don't go there. Fucking Sage Nork. Oh, they go there to die, you know? Sage
Nork. Yeah, look at Mighty Mouse.
Look at Mighty Mouse. Look at fucking Sage Northcutt, you know? He's cut, yeah. But full of fucking droids, that guy. I don't even think they fucking test the guys out there.
Yeah, that guy's massive. He looks like a bodybuilder.
Seriously, he looks like a fucking giant Barbie doll, like fucking Ken.
I think Rogan or somebody was saying, like, it's specifically in your contract. We do not test for anything.
I'm serious. All those fucking guys look like they're fucking on roids. I mean, I'm pretty sure they are, allegedly.
Allegedly. Again.
All right. So up next, we all agreed that we're only going to talk about a couple of fights. UFC on ESPN 26. Me as well as I think everybody here was pretty much just interested in a couple of fights here. Islam. Yeah, I want to take over with that last name, or
Makachev, I believe.
I've always sucked with names.
Makachev.
All right. So
somebody.
See, we're doing it right now. We're getting all these names wrong.
So, if you don't know, obviously this guy is mentored by, you guys know who?
Khabib.
This makes Khabib 5-0 as a coach, which is very exciting. It's exciting because it just makes you feel like Khabib's not gone. Even though he's gone, he's not gone. Yeah. He's got guys like this. He's got guys like Usman. Or Osman, I don't know, his cousin, and then he has another cousin, which I can't remember the top his name at the top of my head, but they are all super fucking legit fighters.
Tukhukov, maybe.
Tukhukov, yeah, I can't really say they're all cousins, okay? Yeah. They're all related. They're all cousins. They're all under Khabib's watch. You know what that means, you guys? If you don't know, I've said this before. We are near San Jose. AKA is down the street. These guys will be training right here down the street from us.
Yeah,
Khabib was in Gilroy.
Yeah,
my buddy Julio just met Khabib the other day. He was in Gilroy.
Yeah, my buddy just met Khabib and DC. He went to one of their trainings.
So this guy, I don't know if anybody knows, but if you're not on the fucking hype train yet, what the fuck are you thinking? Because this motherfucker just honestly devoured Thiago Moises. He fucking just dominating him the entire fucking time.
He seems to be doing it to everybody that he fights lately. He's like a mini Khabib.
That Dagestani, he did it for father.
He did it for father. It was a father's plan.
I feel like Khabib is becoming father, you know? Like,
oh, 100%.
He's starting to train guys now.
100%. Yeah. I think that Khabib is 100% becoming his dad. And I love it. I fucking love it. I love that we're going to be able to see all of these fighters under, like, Russian fighters under him, and being able to see them grow as soon as you see that they're under him.
Yeah. You know, and to speak to, like, Khabib's character, like, not a lot of people become as big as him and don't get, like, diluted with their fame or whatever, you know, stay humble. He's one of the few guys, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Such a fucking humble guy. Such a fucking humble guy. I can't even say how much that guy, even after all of the shit that, you know, he's been through, and with Conor, he's always kept his fucking cool. Well, I wouldn't say I always kept his cool. Other than that, him fly. You know, I forgot about that flying one. I forgot about that one incident when he flew off the cage. They don't call him the eagle for nothing.
eagle powers.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to expect to see really great things out of him. So I'm excited. Who do you think that they give him next?
Good question. It depends on how much they want to test him. They can give him, where's Makhachev? Oh, actually, Makhachev he's ranked number five. He's higher number in the rankings five than all these guys. So he's got to fight Beneil. That's the only fight for
him. That's what I say. Yeah, I agree. They have a similar style, like the way they approach, and they got a good ground game.
Yeah, Beneil's got a great ground game. That's a threat to Makhachev, being such a dominant wrestler.
Yeah, I think that would be a good one. It's got to be.
I think it just makes sense for him to fight Dariush.
Yep, that's what I was just about to say. That's like Izzy said. I mean, that's the only person I could see that makes sense.
Yeah, it's got to be Justin Charles, right? And then Justin Chandler, Dariush, Islam.
We'll see, guys.
But where does Kevin Lee fit into this?
fucking Kevin Lee.
That's a Chael quote.
A Chael quote. Mm. Chael Sonnen, what a crazy ass.
You know what's funny? Is Dariush might be the fucking most nice hated guy in the world for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why people hate him. He's such a nice guy. But people fucking hate him. I was there at that fight. And
in Texas.
In Texas, okay? And he, I mean, when I tell you that people, we could not hear what he was saying. Because people were
beat the shit out of Tony Ferguson, though.
And you know what? I'm not going to lie. I fucking booed him, too.
I would too.
Oh, come on.
As like, you should have. Fuck this guy. Fuck this guy. I don't care. Asking for a fucking Tesla. Asking for a Tesla and for his baby. Fuck him out his baby.
Oh, man.
Praying in his post-fight press conference.
I was so mad.
He sound like McGregor.
You know, I was mad like Tony really didn't get his ass beat. You know, it had nothing to do with him. It had nothing to do with him and all to do with Tony, but I was still mad at him.
Elon Musk is out there like, who the fuck is that guy?
Oh my God. So that's that with him. But I think, okay, so we're calling that, guys. We're gonna say that Aslam's gonna fight what I like to call, what's his name?
Dariush.
Douchebag. Okay. So we'll go ahead and move past that. That's who we're gonna say that he's gonna fight next. So up next, good old Misha Tate.
I'm a big fan.
Let me tell you, I didn't like Miesha Tate too much when she was in this whole UFC, you know, thing with Ronda Rousey. And, you know, I was around. Okay, I'm going to say it. All right. I don't give a shit. I was a Ronda Rousey fan. I know. Everyone's going to. I was a huge Ronda Rousey fan. And until she fucking bitched out and just ran away from the sport because she lost, you know. Some people can't handle losses. They break them mentally and then they just don't come back. And then I was like, what the fuck? You were one of my favorite fighters and you're just going to bitch out and leave the sport. And now look at this. Miesha Tate coming back. What is she, after a fucking baby? She looked amazing. And like physically, she looked amazing. She looked
best shape she's ever ripped, been, huh?
Okay. Before she had her baby, she looked better than before she had the baby. Period.
She looks amazing. She got a new strength and conditioning coach and she looks fucking ripped.
She dominated her. She dominated.
She looked better than ever.
Better than ever.
As good as ever.
I cannot believe that she is her age and she just fucking had a baby like a year ago. It might be.
I predicted that she'd get her ass kicked and I couldn't have been more wrong.
Holy shit. Did you really? I mean, I knew she fucking had it in her. She's always been a banger, you know? I didn't expect
coming back after, you know, 4 years having a baby. I mean, there's the cards were stacked against her and she performed flawlessly.
Well, she fucking proved you wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, dude, she fucking looked great. I'm excited. You know what? I'm excited to have a vet in there to like really show up these girls. I want nothing more than for her to have a fucking run for the title.
That would be cool to see again. Yeah.
Like, that would be fucking insane to watch as a veteran watcher of the UFC and MMA period to see a veteran go for the. That's like watching
Wolverine.
I don't know who that is.
Arlovsky. That's like watching Arlovsky come back and fucking. That's like watching Arlovsky come back and fucking do great and fucking do almost a title run. Like,
No. You know what that is? That's like watching Nick Diaz come back and win the fucking welterweight title.
All right, let's not get wild here. All right, we gotta set boundaries, guys. We gotta. let's throw him in the division and kind of see how he does in there.
See how he does with Bobby Lawler.
I mean, holy shit!
Yeah, exactly. Like,
oh my god, that would be fucking. Even thinking about that gave me the fucking chills. Like, can you imagine? Holy shit, he's been fucking running triathlons this whole fucking time. All right, so that's all we really wanted to talk about on that card because those two fights were probably the most interesting. There, next up is UFC Fight Night, Sanhagen versus Dillashaw.
I didn't watch it. I saw the highlights.
We're gonna go ahead and cut that part. You're just gonna follow along. You're gonna follow along like you watched.
That was an amazing fight. That was one of the best fights of the year, and there's been a lot of good ones.
Really? Damn.
Do you think it was a close fight? But I had Sanhagen 3.
I thought so too at first, and then I kind of thought about it a little more, and you know,
not watched it, just thought about it.
Well, I watched it live, and then I thought about it after the fact because I had Sanhagen winning live, but TJ held the center of the octagon and was the aggressor the entire fight. Sanhagen was countering the entire fight, and I think that factors in a little bit into the judge's decision.
Judges will always take that into consideration.
They'll favor the control of the cage.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, given that,
I honestly thought that they were going to stop the fight.
Is it that bad where he, like...
No, it was really close. It could have been a draw.
It could have been a draw. And nobody would have been mad.
Yeah. Razor thin.
And it was crazy.
Did you run that back?
No. But it was a good fight.
I think that it is what it is. And it was so close, and it wasn't. I mean, if one of them got a loss or something, you know, maybe one day in the future where they're like, oh, I need a I need to score or up if, this fucking loss that I had.
In yeah. Or maybe one of them wins the title and then they, one of them's the challenger, something like that. Then yeah, that makes sense.
Well, Dillashaw is ranked 2 right now. And then it's just Jan and Sterling above him. But Jan and Sterling are probably going to have their rematch before.
Yeah, they have to have that fight. For yeah, sure.
Definitely.
I think Jan probably wins it.
I look, believe
I've
so
said
too.
This before. I don't think Jan's that great. I said it. I don't care.
Really? I think he's really
good. I think he's pretty good. Yeah.
That's great. That's great. He was, you guys think on that Sterling everyone's before hey, that. That's fine. I have an unpopular opinion about this. Even before like he won the title, I just don't see him as the greatest of all time. And I think that it's only a matter of time before somebody better comes. He's just a place. This is how I see him. He's just a placeholder. Like, he's not somebody that I'm like, oh my God, nobody's going to be able to beat that guy. I'm just waiting for someone better to come because he's not as good as like,
yeah, I get what you're saying. You know what I'm saying?
He's not the,
yeah, he's not like a top guy of all time for that division. He's not, he's
not Israel. He's not Israel as Adesanya. He's not Usman. Yeah. He's not somebody that I could say like Valentina, where I'm like, there's no bitch that can beat that bitch. You know, like she's nobody like Amanda Nunes. And I'm like, there's no one that those undisputable, like those are champions. That to me is somebody that I'm like, it's going to take someone real special to take these guys out. Petr Yan is not that to me. He's just a placeholder. He's a placeholder there till someone like one of them comes around.
To be fair to him, we haven't really seen him that much, have we? Like, how many fights has he had?
And that's my point. That's my point. We haven't seen enough about him. And what we did see is just not as impressive. It's just not impressive to me to put him at the, like, there's a reason why people don't get excited, like super excited, like, oh, he's the greatest of all time. Yeah, because he's not.
Yeah.
He's just really not. And I'm just
waiting. He's got that stoic Russian thing. He doesn't capture like the
a crowd. He's not a he's not a crowd. What is it called? He's not like
crowd pleaser.
People don't like go crazy to go watch him. You know who people go crazy to watch? Brandon Moreno. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a smaller, he's a flyweight and he gets people to fucking watch him. That just tells you the difference. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it just,
he doesn't have a magnetic personality. He's just a guy like, that's even, you know, winning fights.
Aljamain, the whole thing that happened with Aljamain Sterling and him, it's just to me, even though I can see at this point looking at the top five, I can honestly see TJ Dillashaw being champion again.
I can too.
Yeah.
100%. Like, I can see him beating all of these guys. He already beat Sanhagen. I can see him fight. I can see him winning Jan. I can see him beating everybody in there to be the champion again. He cannot be in a better position right now.
I think Sanhagen was the hardest fight of the division for him.
And he got through
it. The guy's like 6 foot tall. Yeah. Like,
and he got through it. And he did it. And he fucking held his own in there.
He actually got better as the fight went on too, which is a huge marker of a, you know, a champion.
Yeah, it's championship round, baby. Okay, I'm gonna go get another beer. Give me 1 sec.
That's not alleged. He was on steroids.
Actually, he's on EPO.
What is EPO?
EPO is ephedrine. I forget what it is, but it's basically, it helps your body process like blood cells. I think like red blood cells, so that you don't get as tired. You get more blood to your organs.
No way.
Yeah.
What's that?
EPO. That's what TJ popped for.
Mm. One time though, they actually went back and tested all his old samples, and he was clean on all of them except for that one.
He admitted it though. Remember, he admitted that he was taking it during the Cejudo fight.
Cejudo fight, yeah.
He got banned for 2 years, right?
It's crazy because a lot happened within those 2 years, and I don't think that he would be in the position to fucking fight for the belt right now if that didn't happen.
He definitely didn't miss a step. If anything, he looks better than ever.
All right, so let's see. Any other fight that you guys want to talk about on here?
On that card, let me look. Oh, Darren Elkins versus Derek Minner. He was getting the shit beat out of him for, I want to say, definitely all of one round and maybe two rounds. I forget what round it ended in. It might have been the third. But he was just hanging on, almost getting submitted the entire fight, getting the shit beat out of him, got cut, got elbowed. And then he was just waiting it out. And eventually the guy he's fighting, Minner, gassed out.
Gassed out. I love those fights.
Second round. He
turned it on. Yep. Turned it on and just stopped him and beat the shit out of him. Turned it around. It was amazing to watch.
Wow.
So I'm go back and watch that one if you missed it.
I'm definitely going to go back and watch that one because unfortunately I did miss that fight. I was more interested in the main event. Honestly, I've been fucking out and about, so I didn't get the chance to even really watch all of these fights with like total attention. Like I like to watch fights. I did see that Mickey Gall, a little good old Mickey Gall, was on that card.
I was just gonna bring that up. He looks better than ever.
Won by submission. I mean, the guy had a rough kind of start there, right? So we kind of up and down, you know, it's just everyone. Let's just remind the listeners here. Mickey Gall was the guy that got up out of nowhere and was like, hey, I'll fight CM Punk. And that's how everyone knows Mickey Gall.
Okay, because yeah.
Because he's the guy.
He came from that Dana White YouTube show.
Yeah. So he's the guy that was like, I'm going to fucking fight CM Punk. And if you don't know who CM Punk is, fucking Google it. I'm not going to sit here and explain it. CM Punk. No, I'm just kidding. CM Punk was somebody that came from the fucking, what is it? WWE?
WWF.
Yeah, WWF, whatever. Fucking, I've never watched that shit.
WCW?
In my life. W, the CW? I don't know. CM Punk was basically, what do you call him? Like a professional wrestler and not like professional, like an NCAA guys. Not
I think he like was that. Like the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. Something like that.
That's what he was named as.
I can't. I really can't even take that seriously. This guy really tried to come into the UFC and said, "Yeah, it's totally the same thing. I could train MMA." And Dana White fucking sold us wolf tickets, you know. Yeah. And he and a lot of people bought them. I did not. I for the first time, not even knowing this man, Mickey Gall, said, "Yeah, I'll take Mickey Gall." You know, he just came in there and guess what? Round one submitted him. And then, you know, he fought Sage Northcutt and got one. Sage Northcutt gave him his first loss and then lost and then won and then lost and then won. Literally, this is his record. Lost and then won. His entire career has been win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. So I'm hoping that with that last fight, on Saturday, he could get something going here because I can give him really one more.
His striking always looked really weak, but his ground game was legit. You know, he's a Gracie brown belt out of New Jersey, and his ground game has always looked decent, but his striking has just looked like shit in the past. But I watched the fight and he looked actually very good with the hands in this fight. So I'll give him credit. And that's what got him the submission is he knocked the guy down a couple times. And went in and he was patient, then went in and got the submission.
It looks like he rear naked chokes everybody he fights or all his wins or by rear naked choke.
Yeah, I mean, if he could sharpen up, he can sharpen up. I think he needs to go out and find a good striking coach and maybe
that's what he did in this fight.
Boxing.
Oh, that's
watch this fight. He looked good.
Okay. Okay. All right. So that's pretty much all. If anybody wants to talk about any other fight that's on here, that's pretty much.
I have one that we haven't talked about.
Okay. Let's talk about it.
Well, we skimmed over it real quick. Brendan Moreno getting the title.
Yeah.
We haven't fucking talked about that. And honestly, it was fucking awesome. Honestly, that was incredible. We were all okay. We were all here, right, that night.
Yeah, your house. Yeah,
we were all at my house, and I remember I woke up with no fucking voice. I if you could see and witness, I mean, if you didn't know me, if you knew me, I fucking look like a psychopath. I literally was jumping and screaming at the top of my lungs of how happy I was, because
the entire
fucking house was like hugging and jumping and, oh my fucking God, I can't believe this is fucking happening, because I had Brandon Moreno. I always fucking believed in him. Nicest fucking guy and best deserving champion that you can ever think of.
Certainly so. I'm really happy for him.
First, you know, question about that fight too. Thinking back on that fight, did Moreno look amazing or did Figueiredo look like shit?
Oh, relax, dude. Relax. Just hear how hyped up I was right now?
I thought Moreno looked as good as he did in the first fight, but Figueiredo did not look like he.
He didn't look like himself.
I think that, yeah, you know, since that. The beginning.
But Moreno did look fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And not only that, but I think that Figueroa, it was very apparent that Moreno got to his head. If you remember the weigh-ins, he pushed him all crazy. Do you guys remember how awkward that was? It was just like,
and then he didn't even like react to it.
Moreno was like, what the fuck? I mean, if that's he said in a fight conference, hey, if that's what you need to do to make yourself feel better, you know, if that's what you need to do, that in that very moment, I knew I won. I got to his head. I knew that I had got inside his head, and it was over. Moreno straight up said that. Like, I knew. I knew.
It's like they're gonna fight tomorrow. Like,
I feel like he did it to like motivate him or like kind of pump him up, not to be scared of Moreno. Kind of touch him, put hands on him, feel him as a entity, not just like as an entity, but like feel him physically, so that he can kind of not be scared of him. But I think that Figueroa was scared of him, and he had to kind of do that to help him mentally process like him being scared of losing his belt. Like, I feel like, and he really felt like, damn, I think I'm going to lose my belt. I think, and that's what really motivated
him. I agree. I think he knew it was coming.
Yeah. And that's
kind of, you know, go back to that first fight. He knew that he couldn't put him away. Like, the guy just kept coming, Moreno.
Oh, he was,
you know. No, he threw everything at him and couldn't put him away. So I'm sure that's got to rattle your ego as a fighter.
Yeah,
certainly. Especially with that kind of record and being the champ for as long as he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. I'm just over the moon that we have an official champion from Mexico, because, you know, we had Caín Velázquez, which, you know, it was a Mexican-American, but he was, you know, born in America. We have Brandon Moreno straight out of Mexico now. And yep. I just, you know, we got people like Irene Aldana that are upcoming and looking great. Alexa Gracio.
Gracio. I'm a big fan of her.
Yeah. Alexa Gracio, you got Aldana, you got, you know, Moreno, you got, and I can't think of anybody at the top of my head.
What's his name? The featherweight. Yair.
The last time we were going to see him fight was, and you know what's funny?
UFC.
Remember, he said you said that.
That was my prediction. What? Yeah.
Yeah, it was your prediction. And then he signed to finally fight fucking, what's his name? They fucking canceled the fight. I'm like, God damn it. I think that we're never going to see this motherfucker fight anymore. I
mean, my prediction is still there. I hold to it.
I mean, shit, on canceled belts, basically. All right. So we've come to the end of the podcast. Thank you guys for joining me. It's always a good fucking time to sit here and fucking talk MMA with you guys. We most likely will do it again, hopefully very soon, and not wait fucking 6 months to do it again. I totally enjoyed. Thank you guys so much for listening, and thank you for joining me. Make sure to follow Girly MMA Fan on IG. I'll tag these guys over on the post for the podcast. And thanks again for listening. Peace out.
Thank you. Later.